Today's daf is Chulin daf Mem Dalid. And we are about 30 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis Itmar Turbitz Haveshet. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shleima for Chava Miriam Basmalka Freida and Shleima Ben Chayale. So we're at the very, very beginning of the third parak of Maseches Chulin. Perek Elu Treifas, which of course is a continuation of everything that we've been learning this entire Masechta, and that is the laws of Shechitas Chulin, albeit with a very, very focused focus on Se'if Katan within the world of Shechitas Chulin, and that is the world of Treifas. Now, today's daf is going to be a little bit more anatomy and physiology of an animal, with a dogush on the veshet, the esophagus of the animal, more specifically, what's known as the turbitz haveshet. Towards the latter part of the daf, we're going to go from the veshet to its compadre, which of course is the gargeres, also known as the kone, also known as the trachea. So the Mishnah said that a nekev, the size of a mashu, in the veshet, would render the animal into a treifa. The Gemara now is going to bring a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel with regards to one specific part of the veshet. What the Gemara refers to as the turbitz haveshet, and the machlokes is going to be whether a nekev b'mashu on the turbitz haveshet is like the veshet itself, where the halach is it would render it into a treifa, or whether the turbitz haveshet is different. So that, just like when it comes to most evarim, in the guf of a behema, a nekev b'mashu would not make it a treifa. Usually you would need that roiv of it should be severed in order to even be having this conversation. Could be the turbitz haveshet, in contrast to the veshet itself, is treated more like one of these other evarim. The bottom line is, turbitz haveshet, a nekev the size of a mashu, would that make it a treifa, or would that not make it a treifa? So, of course, the first thing that we need to do is define what exactly is the turbitz haveshet. So, driving at a lane here, but very high level, the esophagus is what attaches the throat of the animal to the stomach, the digestive tract of the animal. So the two simonim, the two tubes that Masechtas Chulin very much focuses on, are the trachea and the esophagus. The trachea attaches the throat to the lungs, and the esophagus attaches the throat to the digestive tract to the stomachs. In the vernacular, the esophagus, the veshed, is mechubber to the animal on the top part of the animal through the lechi, through the jaw, that's the throat area, and on the bottom, it's mechubber to the digestive tract through the keres, which is the name of a stomach. We know an animal has four stomachs, so this is the keres hapnimi. So it's attached to the lechi on the one hand, and it's attached to the keres hapnimi on the other hand. The turbitz is the part of the veshet that's at the very, very top, close to the lechi. In English, it's known as the pharynx, but it's the top part of the veshet. You can almost look at it as even not the veshet per se, but rather some muscular something that attaches the veshet to the lechi. But to keep it simple, just think of it as the top part of the veshet. It's where the veshet meets the lechi. It's where the esophagus attaches the throat, meaning it's on the upper part. Now we'll see the Gemara is going to get into a more nuanced breakdown of the turbitz haveshet, the veshet itself, but I think as far as an introduction, to keep it as simple as possible, just think of it as that top area. Just in terms of where does the word turbitz even come from? That's not a word that you see every day. So Rashi says the word turbitz is miloshen tarbitza, which is a field, which is a chotzer. So we know that Chazal very often used the mishalim, everyday language, to describe scientific and more complex ideas. So just like a house has a chotzer in front of it, it's the Pesach, it's the proizder, it's the entranceway. So you don't go straight into the living room, you walk through a chotzer, and then you come to the front step, and you knock on the door, and you wait, available, not available, right? That's usually how this plays itself out. So in the front of the veshet, you have this area known as the turbitz haveshet. That's where this obscure word comes from. Either way, zokte gemara, itmar turbitz haveshet, as it relates to this
this area, that's known as the Turbas Avesh. Rav Amar B'Mashu. Rav said that if there's a neck of the size of a mashu, it's going to make it a treifa. V'Shmuel Amar B'Rubai. Shmuel says, no, the Turbas Avesh is not treated like the Veshet itself, and as a result, a neck of the size of a mashu would not make it into a treifa, unless roiv of it was severed, roiv of the thickness of it was punctured, then the halach is it would not be considered a treifa. What is the machlokes? So the Gemara explains. Rav Amar B'Mashu. Rav says that the turbas aveshet, a neck of the size of a mashu, would be considered a nekev makom shchito, because Rav held that the turbas aveshet is like the veshet as it relates to shchita. So one of the two simanim of an animal is the veshet. That's the makom hashchito. Rav held that the turbas aveshet is a part of the veshet where you can do the shchita. So we know that not every part of the veshet is kosher l'shchita. Not every part of the kana is kosher l'shchita. In fact, one of the five halachas in Leish Misinai, known as Hagroma, that the Gemara discussed in great detail on Daf Yud Ches and Daf Yud Tes, deals with what part of the kana and the veshet is going to be okay. So Rav holds that the turbitz veshet is considered makam shchita. So if it's makam shchita and has a din veshet as it relates to makam shchita, so it's going to have a din veshet as it relates to the nekev as well. Of nekev, the size of a mashu, in the veshet proper makes it into a treifa. In the turbitz veshet, it's going to be the same thing. Shmuel says berubai. He says no, it's going to be berubai because it's not makam shchito. Because he holds it's not the makam shchito. And if somebody would shecht the turbitz veshet, it would not be considered a shchita in the veshet. Oh, if it's not considered a veshet with regards to makam shchito, it's also not considered a veshet with regards to a nekev b'mashu making it into a treifa. Says the Gemara, "Hai niu turbas aveshet." So, what part of the veshet is the actual turbas aveshet? Amar Mori bar Marukva Amar Shmuel. So, Mori bar Marukva said in the name of Shmuel, "Kol shechaytchay umarchiv zehu turbas aveshet." So, if you go to the very, very top of the veshet and you cut it, what's going to happen is the opening is going to expand a little bit. So this was an idea that we had all the way back on Daf Ches already, that the makom hashchita is mirvach ravach, right? There's this idea that sometimes shchita will cause something not to contract, which you would maybe think intuitively what it would do, but the hole all of a sudden becomes wider. So you shecht it and it spreads open. So the top part of the veshet, when you cut it, it's marchiv. And Shmuel said that that is the area known as the turbitz veshet. If, however, you would cut the veshet underneath that area, a place where when you cut it, it doesn't expand, it's oymid bimkoymoy, zeo veshet atzmoy, that would already be considered the veshet. So if you get towards the top of the veshet, there's an area where you cut it, the sides are going to stay in place. Then there's an area where you cut it, where the sides are actually going to expand. That is the cutoff line as relates to where the veshet ends and where the turbas veshet begins. Amalei Rapapi. So Rapapi told Mori bar Mar Ukfa, Mar lo yamar hachi. I heard from the Rebbe differently. Umani, who is the Rebbe? Rabibi Barabaya. Rabibi Barabaya. Elo, what did Rabibi Barabaya say? Not like Shmuel. Rather, that area, which is not the tippy top, but it's close to it, where if you cut it, it's not going to expand. It's going to stay in place. That's still part of the Torah. What's the area that's the Veshet? That's me. It's the area that when you cut it, it's going to not expand, not stay in place, but rather it's going to contract. So it seems that when you get towards the top of the veshet, just teaching the Gemara, so there's these three locations. As you get towards the top, the veshet, if you cut it, it's going to contract, which by the way, that's like the whole veshet underneath it as well. You go a little bit higher than that, it's going to stay in place. And when you go a little bit higher than that, it's going to actually expand. And it's those top two areas that there was this debate amongst Amiram, do we view that as the Turbitz HaVeshet or not? Meaning, for sure, the top part where it expands is the Turbitz HaVeshet, and that's what Shmuel held is the Turbitz HaVeshet. Anything beneath that is actually not. Rabbi Bar Abaye said, no, that even beneath that, the area where it stays in place is Eichet the Turbitz HaVeshet. That's also the Chotzer of the Veshet. You want to know what the Veshet proper is? It's Kol Shechot Chevekovitz. Stating that, the Gemara brings a third Shita. Yoina Amar Reb Zera. So believe it or not, there's a little bit of a shaila here. It's actually almost hard to believe if this Yoina is referring to the Amora Reb Yoina, or rather it's referring to Yona, as in a dove. This is a Shaila. The Pashtus says it's referring to Reb Yoina. The Pesiyasa brings a Yeshayimrim that says that the Yoina over here is actually a halacha as it relates to the Turbitz HaVeshet of a Yoina. And even though it's not the yoin as opposed to the tar, right? But a yoin is a name of a kosher bird. It's one of the two kosher birds that were allowed to be put on the mizbech. And that's what yoina means over here. But we'll go with the pashup shot. And that yoina is Reb Yoina. Amr Reb Zeir was saying over the name Reb Zeir. Incidentally, I saw Reb Reuven Margolis in his Netzut Zayar has a ha'ara on this gemara, right? There's not a lot in the Netzut Zayar. On this gemara, he has a ha'ara. Because she won a daf. And he says that if you know throughout Shas, Bekama Mekoimis, Bebavli Ubi Yerushalmi, you find Rabbi Yoina saying over Torah in the name of Reb Zeira. In Yerushalmi, it's in the name of Reb Zeira. Of course, Reb Zeira. So for sure, a lot of credibility to the Pashtus, and that is Yoina Amar Reb Zeira. And then, of course, he has a Maramakim from somewhere else. I think it's a Yerushalmi that would support the idea that we would use the Yoina to describe just the bird. So he says both shitas be'etzim, if you're a Sinai, you would know, have some sort of makar. This is classic. But either way, what did Rabbi Yoina say to Reb Zeira? He said mavlata. You want to know where the Turbetz HaVeshet is? It's the real top of the veshet. It's all the way mamish in the throat. So even if you're in the area where if you cut it, it's going to expand, lav dafka, that's going to be considered the Turbetz HaVeshet. It would have to be really towards the top. Okay, how close to the top? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Avya. Rav Avya said, Pachas misa'arta. It's less from the throat than the length of a grain of barley. V'adav michitasa. However, it's a little bit more than the length of the grain of wheat. Bottom line. So we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel regarding the Turbetz HaVeshet. Then we have a machlokes between Shmuel, Rabibi Bar Abaya, and Rabbi Yoina in the name of Rab Zeir, what exactly the Turbetz HaVeshet even is. But as it relates to the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that's the segue to the next part of the daf. Rav held a nekiv in the Turbetz HaVeshet is like a nekiv in the veshet. It's b'mashu that it becomes a treifa. Shmuel held that no. A nekiv in the veshet, treifa b'mashu, in the Turbetz HaVeshet would have to be berubai. The Gemara explained, what is the beer in the machlokes? The beer in the machlokes says, Rav held that the Turbetz HaVeshet is a mokum shchita. So if the Turbetz HaVeshet is a mokum shchita, well, that means that it's mamish the veshet. So if it's mamish the veshet, then talocha l'moshe misinai, that said, a nekeb mashu would render veshet a treifa. So, well, it's going to be a treifa. Shmuel holds it's not the Mokum Shechita. If it's not the Mokum Shechita, so it's not the Veshet per se in the world of Shechita, hence also not in the world of Treifas, and therefore in that instance, it's actually going to have to be Berubai. It's interesting, just one point that Rashi makes a very big deal about throughout the Sugya, and that is, if you remember on Daf Yud Ches and Daf Yud Ches, when the Gemara talked about the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Hagrom, so there was a huge discussion, what is the upper limit of the Shechita in the Kana? So what's Hagrom? Hagrom defines, we're on the Kana, we're in the Veshet, you're allowed to do the Shechita, which really would mean that if you were going to open up the Shulchan Aruch and see the se'if that talks about hagrama, you would need four se'ifei kata. I would have to know the upper limit of the kana, the lower limit of the kana. I would have to know the upper limit of the veshet and the lower limit of the veshet. In the sugya on Daf Yud Ches and Daf Yud Tes, the Mishnah that talked about these laws, it only mentioned one of the four. It mentioned the upper limit of the kana. It said nothing about the lower limit of the kana, and it didn't even talk about the veshet. Now, in the maskan of that gemara, as it relates to the upper limit of the kana, it was a huge shaila. How far up? The kova, the shipoya kova, right? A whole bunch of different terms, again, mashalim, that Chazal used to describe what the upper limit of the kana is, but didn't mention a word about the lower limit of the kana. It didn't mention a word about the vesha. If you think about it, this machlokes Rav and Shmuel is really the answer to another one of those quadrants, and that is, what is the upper limit of the shechita of the veshet? If Rav holds that the Turbetz HaVeshet is a makam shechita, so that means you can go as high up as you want. The Turbetz HaVeshet for sure is that upper area. That's where it starts, but if you're going to tell me the whole Turbetz HaVeshet, nekev mashu, and it's because it's a makam shechita, that means you're allowed to shecht all the way to the top. That means shechitas Rav is, there is no hagrama on the top part of the veshet as it relates to shechita. Where Shmuel says, of course it's hagrama. The hagrama is the Turbetz HaVeshet. What is Turbetz HaVeshet? Good, that's a shayla. We have 3 days. What the Turbetz HaVeshet is. But this machloikis Rav and Shmuel, which is a machloikis in the Chastreifes really is so yisoidi in the world of Shechita. It's not just, could I shech, could I not shech? I mean, that's as yisoidi as you're going to get. But if you think about it, this is a definition of one-fourth of one of the five halachos. We'll see, it's going to play itself out a little bit more in the course of the daf. But either way, the Gemara is going to tell a story, and this is a real chulin de gemaisa. It doesn't involve a puritz, it doesn't involve a krechma. What it involves is a shor. Ahutura, there was a shor, the have a libnei rab ukfa. It belonged to the sons of Rab Ukfa. The Asbachish Shchita beturbet Aveshet. So the Shoichit shechted this shor. He started the Shchita in the infamous Turbet Aveshet. Vigomar beveshet, and he concluded it in the veshet. And then he went to Rava and he said, Rava, I don't know, is this a kosher animal? Is it not a kosher animal? I think I might have botched up. I started shechting it in the Turbet Aveshet. So Rava said, I'm going to tell you the halacha. I'm going to impose the chumra of Rav and the chumra of Shmuel. Vitorifnale, I'm going to render it a treifa. And Rav explained, chumra de Rav, I'm going to be machman like Rav the Amar Rav Amashu. Rav holds that a nekev in the turbet aveshet the size of a mashu makes it into a treifa. Now you're going to tell me, said Rav, from a Rav, Rav said makam shchito. According to Rav, it's a makam shchito, so it's not a treifa, right? Just to be clear, a nekev in the veshet b'mashu is a treifa, but that's only if it didn't happen machmas the shchita. If the shchita is what made the nekev, well, that's what he's supposed to do. So then it's going to be okay. So Rav said that a nekev b'mashu in the turbet aveshet makes it a treifa, but that's a terrible mistake, because to the extent that Rav holds that it's also the makam hashchita, well, if it's the makam hashchita, obviously, then everything is going to be okay. Narvas kishmul. Rav said, I'm going to be machman like Shmuel, I'm a lot makam shchita, who holds that the turbet havesher is not a makim shchita. So if it's not a makim shchita, you can't look at it as a shchita. But ike shmul, but if you hold like shmul, ama berubai, shmul holds that nekev b'mashu is not going to be an issue in the turbet aveshet. Abikir rav, dama b'mashu. For that array, I'm going to go like rav. Either way, Rava said, I'm going l'chumr like Rav, l'chumr like Shmuel, and therefore I'm going to paskin that this animal is not going to be okay. K'chumr de Rav, that a nekev b'mashu in turbet aveshet makes it into a treifa. And k'chumr de Shmuel, that it's not a makim shchita. What's the point? Let's just analyze a little bit better, because the Gemara is going to make a huge deal about this story. Really, in Rav's world, this was kosher, and in Shmuel's world, this was kosher. The reason in Rav's world, this was kosher is, because according to Rav, this was just a regular shchita. You started in the right place, and you ended in the right place. In Shmuel's world, this was also a kosher shchita. The reason is, because although you didn't start in the right place, but at the same time, that nekev that you made was only b'mash, it wasn't berubai, it wasn't enough to make it into a treifa. Now, the truth is, Tosfos sends us, we're not going to go into this, to daf yutes, because if you remember, in the sugi of Agrama, it's that even if you get roiva the shchita right, but if you start in the wrong place, that could be is going to be an issue. And it happens to be shita Shmuel and daf yotes, and Tais asks the stira Shmuel at the Shmuel. It's beyond the scope of what we need for pashim shan and the gemara. But just from a practical perspective, really mi'ikra adin, this should be kasha alibi the rav, and this should be kasha alibi the Shmuel. It should be kasha alibi the rav because it's the makam shchita. It should be kasha alibi the Shmuel because although the fact that it's not a makam shchita, but at the same time, I treif it does oichnish. What did Rava do? Rava had his cake and he ate it too. Rava said, I'm going to be machmer kachumer the rav kachumer the Shmuel. I'm going to be machmer like rav and I'm going to say that it makes it a treifa, but I'm going to be machmer like Shmuel and say it's not a makam shchita. So a nekev shaloi be makam shchita. Shloi b'shas shchita is for sure going to be a nekev, and as a result, it's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, Yigalgal Milsa, this story made its rounds, literally. That's what Yigalgal means. Matoy l'kami de Rababa, and he made it to Rababa. So Rababa heard about the story. So we're familiar with Naske de Rababa. That's something every yeshiva bachar knows. This is Tura de Rababa. So all of a sudden, this shar makes its way to Rababa, not alive, but the story of the shar. Amalahu. So Rababa told them, Tura, this shar, bein l'rab, bein l'shmul shari. It's muta side coin to Rab, side coin to Shmul. Like we mentioned, going to Rab, and according to Shmuel, it's not a treifa. Zilu Amru Le Lebrei Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. He said, "Go tell the son of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, also known as Rava to us." By the way, Geshmak Rashi. Rashi says, "Vahu Rava the Kuli Talmuda." Bar plukte da'abai. Right, how would you explain Rava to somebody? If somebody says, can you please describe Rava? I think the best way to describe it is, you know, the bar plukte da'abai. That was Rashi's best way of describing him. Which Rava? Yeah, no Rava. Da'abai or Rava. But either way, so Rav Abba said, go tell the son of Rav Yosef Bar Chama that he has to pay the value of the shar lemore. Why? Because he made a wrong psak. And being that he made a wrong psak, the man of Shachsai Koin, Travis Haikoin, the Shmuel was okay, so therefore he has to come out of pocket. Talk to Gemara. Omar Mar Breda Ravino. Mar, the son of Ravino, said, Moisvino Tufte Klapi Soni de Rava. I'm going to ask Akasha. a bon kasha tufto, and I'm going to ask it to the soine of Rava. Now, really, he was asking the kasha to Rava or on Rava, but he didn't want to say he's asking the kasha on Rava, so he said he's asking the kasha on the soine of Rava. Now, what's the big deal? Now, let's ask a kasha, kachi darke shel Torah, right? Every time Rava says something, Abaya has an opinion that's not like that. I'm going to ask a kasha, but I'm not asking it to Rava, I'm asking it on the soine of Rava. So Rashi says, it's because we're going to see the kasha is going to be a little disrespectful. And for that reason, he didn't even want to say that I'm channeling the kasha directly to Rava. Euphemistically, he said, I'm asking to the soine of Rava. So what's the kasha? It's from a braisa. This braisa is a tesefta in a bunch of places. If you take a look at the Masoreis HaShas, halacha is always like Beis Hillel. It's asking the Beis stating that if somebody wants to go like Beis Shammai, he could. If you want to go like Beis Hillel, you could. So interesting, right? The halacha is always like Beis Hillel, stating that if you don't want to follow the halacha, I won't tell if you don't tell. So the Gemara is going to ask that obvious stira minei ubei. But first, we finished the braisa. What if somebody says, I like being mekel, so I'm going to paskin like all the kulas of Beis Shammai and all the kulas of Beis Hillel. So the braisa says, Rasha. That person's a Rasha. If somebody goes and he says, I'm going to take on the Chum Beis Shammai, Chum Beis Hillel, all of Akos of Lame is regarding him that the pasuk says, Haksil, the fool, he walks in darkness. Meaning, to always be a machmer, you're a fool. Right? To always be a mekel, you're a Rasha. To always be a machmer, you're a fool. So again, a Rasha maybe is worse than a fool, but a fool is a close second. Either way, says the Braisa, that you can go like Beis Shammai, you can go like Beis Hillel, despite the fact that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but if you can always be machmer, you're a fool, and if you can always be mekel, you're a rasha. So what should you do? Iki Beis Shammai ki kuleyem ukechamreyem, iki Beis Hillel ki kuleyem ukechamreyem. So before the kasha, let's just finish the Braisa. How goofa kasha them? Gemara says, I'm the Malachic de Rizil. You tell me that Allah is always like Bizil. Father Tony very classic de Risham, yes. And then you tell me that if you want to go like Bisham, you can go to Bisham. If the Allah is like Bizil, then you have to go like Bizil. The Gemara says, like Kasha, two truths. Number one, can't kaidim Pascal, can't like a Pascal. We know the Gemara says in Erevin, Dafyud Gimelan, and other places that Bisham and Bizil, they argued for 2.5 years. They said Allah is like us, they said Allah is like us. Until the Pascal came and was Machria, the Elu, the Elu, Divilikim Chaim, the Allah, Kibesil. So before the Pascal came out, you were able to pick and choose. You want to be a Shamayid? Be a Shamayid. You want to be a Hilliard? Be a Hilliard. And that was when we said, go like Beis Shammai kichumreim kukuleim, go like Beis Hillel kichumreim kukuleim. The halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel is talking about the Achabasko. So it's an interesting price. Loilam halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel post the Basko. Alright, so that's referring to pre the Basko. Anybody saying, or you could say that you don't have to chop this braisa with a sakina harifa from a chronological perspective, but rather you could say that the entire braisa is afla Achabasko. Meaning even the latter part of the braisa that says if you want to pick Beis Shammai, it could be talking about Lachar Pascha. Rabbi Shui, Dame Imashkicham the Pascha. And the stira in the Braisa will be reconciled by saying it's two different shitas. The shita that says, Lo'ilam Alacha Kid Beis Hillel, that's the man Dame Dachos Mashkicham the Pascha. And the shita that says that, Reitz Alasois, that's going Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua, whose shita throughout Shas says, Imashkicham the Pascha. But the Gemara says, bottom line, literally, Mikol Makkah. That means bottom line in English. Kasha. At the end of the day, it's a kasha. So my brother Ravina said, I'm going to ask a kasha clapping the sign of Rav. And the kasha is from a mufurshat tesefta that repeats itself several times in Shas. And that is that even in the world where it was okay to go like Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, you were able to pick and choose, but to go always l'chumra, always l'kula, that was not okay. To always go l'kula, Rasha, and to always go l'chumra, Kisil. Now, Rashi says that if you take a look at the Gemara in Erevin Daf Zayin, which is one of the places that this is mentioned in Shas, the Gemara there clarifies that when the Braisa says that if you're going to always go L'chumra, you're going to be considered a Ksil, it doesn't mean that I can't be Machmer like Beis Shammai and Beis Shinol the Beyontif and then be Maker like Beis Hillel when it comes to some other area in Halacha, right? There's that you're allowed to do. I'm not meshubit to say every single thing I do is Shammai or every single thing I do is Hillel. But within one machloikis, to the extent there's a manifestation of Chumra and Kula, there if I pick the Chumra or the Kula, alzena mar ful, alzena mar rosha, that's when this price is playing itself out. Where it's one machloikis, satainid marbre de ravino, l'chayra, what Rava Paskin, when he said I'm going to impose the Chumra of Rav and the Chumra and Shmuel, was
mamish what the fool of that brisa did. Because he went ahead and he took one machloikis, and that is turbitz aveshet. Do we look at it as veshet? Do we not look at it as veshet? And in that same one shayla, he went l'chumra, like Rav, that we're going to look at it as veshet. Hence, a neck of the mashu is going to render it a treifa. But in that same exact shayla, he went l'kula, like Shmuel, and said it's not going to be a makam shchita. That's mamish what the fool is doing in that brisa. So my braid Rav said, I don't even want to ask this kasha to Rav. This is the Rashi. I don't even want to ask it to Rava, because I feel like I'm being choshed Rava, being a ksil, and Rava is the genius of Shas. Daloch is always like, of course, I'm never going to do that, but at the same time, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? So euphemistically, I'm going to bomb away. And that is to take one machlekes that has a nafkamina lechumra and a nafkamina lekula, and to go lechumra lechumra on the beid and nafkaminas. To say that the Turbitz HaVeshet is a Veshet in Hilchis Trefus, but it's not a Veshet in Hilchis Shechita? How could you do something like that? I'll just explain this a drop better because that will segue into the answer. And that is, the whole Yisoid of the Kasha is because really these two Nafkaminas in the Turbitz HaVeshet, whether a Nekeb HaMashu makes it into a Trefa, and whether or not it's a Mokim Shechita, is really one and the same. It's the same exact Shaila. If you look at the Turbitz HaVeshet as the Veshet, then a Nekeb HaMashu makes it into a Trefa, and it would be a Makam Shechita. If you don't look at it as the Veshet, well then it would have to be Nifsek Berubai, and then it wouldn't be a Makam Shechita. The two Shailas with Tali Zebazeh. Now how do you know the two Shailas with Tali Zebazeh? The Gemara said it. Itmar, Turbitz HaVeshet, Rav Amar B'Mashu, Shmuel Amar B'Rubai. Rav Amar B'Mashu, Makam Shechita. Shmuel Amar B'Rubai, La Makam Shechita. So these two things are Tali Zebazeh. So to have your cake and eat it too, in such a Machloikis, which is exactly why Mar Breid Ravina is so disturbed, and that's why he doesn't even want to ask the kasha to Rava. But Rav himself, I don't even want to ask that. Either way, okay, so we have a bomb kasha, right? We come out from kasha. So Rav Tavus. So Rav Tavus said, Kula Karav of the. You have to say that we had a misunderstanding of what Rava's psak was. And when Rava Paskin, L'chumra, l'chumra, he wasn't taking chumra de Rav and chumra de Shmuel, because that the fool does. But rather, what he was doing was he was paskening 100% like Rav. He was paskening like Rav through and through. What does that mean? Chiyas, Rami Bar Yecheskel. Because when Rami Bar Yecheskel came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amari said, "Loi tetzitzu lu lahani klodi dekal Yehuda achim ishmei de Rav." Don't listen to all the klolim that my brother Yehuda said in the name of Rav. So Rami Bar Yecheskel is the famous Rav Yehuda's brother, right? Who's brother Yehuda? It's Rav Yehuda, who's a Talmud Muvik of Rav, and later becomes a Talmud Muvik of Shmuel. And as it relates to this exact halacha, Rav's Shita in Turbitz HaVeshet, Rami Bar Yecheskel said, don't listen to what my brother Yehuda said. Because Hachi Amar Rav, let me tell you what Rav really said. Veshet nasnu bai chachamim shir. Rav said that the Veshet has a shir. And Tosfos says, the lashon of shir means a shir lemaila and a shir lemata of where you're allowed to do the shechita. Well, if that's the case, if Rav said there's a shir lemaila in terms of makom hashechita when it comes to the Veshet, meaning, going back to the sugya daf yud ches and daf yud tes, that quadrant, the upper limit of the Veshet, there is a makam of Hagrama. Well, Mechal, the Turbitz HaVeshet, the makam Shechitu. And what's the area then not? It must be it's the Turbitz HaVeshet. V'kama b'mashu, l'mayla. And he said b'mashu, which means that the halacha of b'mashu is not related to the fact that it's a makam hashchita, and if it's not related to the fact that it's a makam hashchita, so really these two shailas are not tali zebazeh, and Rav's psak is 100% taliba de Rav. In other words, we thought that the whole yisoid of Shita's Rav, that Turbitz HaVesh and Nekeb HaMashu would make it into a treif, is because he held it's a makam hashchita. You know why we thought it? Because the Gemara said it. But Rami Bar Yecheskel said that what the Gemara said is a toys. He said, because you want to know who's saying over that tradition? It's my brother Yehuda, and don't listen to my brother Yehuda, because he gets it wrong sometimes. Don't listen to my brother's brotherly love. Don't listen to what my brother said. But rather, I want to tell you what I heard from Rav. And my Messiah from Rav is a much better Messiah. Hachi Amar Rav. Rav said, Turbitz HaVeshet, or the Veshet has a shear. And if the Veshet has a shear, it means Lamailo Lamata, and it must be the shear Lamailo is the Turbitz HaVeshet. That means the Turbitz HaVeshet is not a Makam Shechita. Okay, so then what did Rav mean when Rav said that a Nekeb HaMashu in the Turbitz HaVeshet would make it into a Trefa? He must have meant that even though it's not the Makam Shechita, of its
fart veshet with regards to treifa. Thus says it's veshet klapi treifa, it's not veshet klapi shchita. He's setailing whether it has a teiras veshet in ilchas treifas versus ilchas shchita. Not like what the Gemara thought lechatchila, that it's so poshet that the two things should be totally zebazet, they should be l'shita zayu. The bottom line is, if even according to Rav, the turbet zaveshet is not a makom shchita, so it's poshet why Rav said what he said. Because as soon as you go ahead and you cut the turbet zaveshet b'mashu, at that point in the world of Rav, you're making it into a treifa. It's not a shchita. Hence, it's not a nekev machna shchita. It's a treifa. It became a treifa a second before you started the shchita. You were so close, yet you're so far, and it's for that reason it's not going to be okay. The means, the yisoid of shchitas rava, his psak in this Turah deRababa, was not based on chumrah deRav, chumrah deShmuel, but rather it was 100% based on the halacha of Rav, because even Rav only said his halacha with regards to treifas. He never said his halacha with regards to shchita. So just to circle back for a minute, and that is that, so what emerges is, when we saw the machloikis l'chatchila between Rav and Shmuel and Turbet Zavesh, we got very excited, because we said that really this machloikis has ramifications in the first perek, Daf Yutches, Daf Yutes, and the sugyas of Agrama. That's true in the world of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, but Rami Bar Yecheskel held not that way. He held that there is a concept of Agrama when it comes to the Veshet Lamaila, and in fact, that area of Agrama is the Turbas of Veshet, and there's no machlokes Rav and Shmuel with regards to that. They both hold Turbas of Veshet. Now, it's what Turbas of Veshet is, but that's see the beginning of the Daf, three Shitas. But this machlokes is very much an Eilu Treifas Digim Machlokes. This is very much not an Hakol Shoichnan Digim Machlokes. One other just interesting factoid that Rashi speaks out that's worth mentioning, there's a few of them scattered in today's Daf, and that is what Rami Bar Yecheskel say. Don't listen to what my brother Yehuda said. Well, what did Rabbi Cheskel's brother Yehuda say? That when Rav said Turbet Zaveshet b'mashu, it's because he holds the makom shchita. If you go back to the beginning of the Gemara, Itmar Turbet Zaveshet Rav Amar b'mashu, Shmuel Amar b'rubay, Rav Amar b'mashu makom shchita, v'Shmuel Amar b'rubay lav makom shchita hu. Rav Yehuda didn't say anything. Where'd Rabbi Yehuda get involved? So Rashi says that you see from here that anytime the Gemara said something over in the name of Rav, a beer in Rav, and we don't know who said it, it's always Rabbi Yehuda. So Stam Rav is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. And it's for that reason Rami Bar Yecheskel comes and says, don't listen to my brother. My brother didn't say anything. Yes, he did, because that beer in Rav is coming from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda gets involved. Either way, so we now know that Rav said, Veshet nasnu by chachamim shir. There's a shir of what part of the Veshet you're allowed to shecht, what not. The Gemara is going to want to know what that shir is. Says the Gemara, L'may lad kama, how high up are you allowed to go? I mean, what is that shir? Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, ad kidei tfisas yad. It's up until tfisas yad. Now it's interesting, because we had the Turbet Zaveshet as being a three-way machloikis, right? But it seems like even in Rav's shir, what the Gemara is saying is, it's not necessarily the whole Turbet Zaveshet that's going to be out of play. But the shir is more specifically, it's ad kidei tfisas yad. Rashi says an interesting definition to tfisas yad. He said it's either three etzbayis or four etzbayis. Right, so is it three or four? That's what Rashi says, either three or four. Lamata ad kama, is there a shir lamata? And if yes, how far low? Rav Nachman said, Rabbi Baravua said, ad kidei sheyaser. It's until it starts getting hairy. Now the Gemara now assumes that ad kidei sheyaser means that if you follow the veshen all the way down to the bottom, into the digestive tract, into what's called the keres apnimi, so as soon as you get to the keres apnimi, it's going to start getting hairy. So that's where the veshet meets the keres. That's the keres. Obviously, if you shech the keres, it's not going to be okay. So what is the shir lamata? It sounds like there is no shir lamata. It's all the way down to the bottom, ad kidei sheyas. But the Gemara has a kakash on this. Ravina said in the name of the infamous Geniva, who said in the name of Rav, Tefach Beveshet Samuch Likeres Zehu Keres Apnimi, that the last tefach of the veshet, where the veshet meets the keres, that's what's known as the keres apnimi. Now the keres apnimi has a unique place in Allah and Ilchas Treifas. The Mishnah says Nekeb Mashu, but the point is where it's negeya to know what the keres apnimi is. It's that last tefach. Now that area is not hairy. So what's the kasha? The kasha is if you're allowed to shech the veshet all the way until it gets hairy, then it means you're allowed to shecht on that last tefach as well.
So you'll tell me, okay, that last tefach is the veshef. Okay, where it gets hairy, that's when you know you're in the keres already. But it's a mefurish Rav. Rav himself said this. Tefach beveshet samach lekeres is the keres apnimi. You can't check in the keres apnimi, so these two Ravs don't stem. Right, amai, let's see it inside. Ki koshachet bekeres koshachet. So at the Gemara, you have to edit it. Ema tefach bekeres samach leveshet. Zeh keres apnimi. When we say it's the tefach, it's not the tefach above the keres. It's not the last tefach of the veshet. It's the first tefach of the keres. So that part of the keres, which you know by the sar, you know by the ear, that's what's known as the keres apnimi, as opposed to the rest of the keres. And again, nafkuminen in ilchas treves. Iba is saying, oh, you can answer a little bit differently. Ki kama rav betura de maser tve. When Rav said that it's ad kedesha yaser, so he was talking about a shar which has a lot of hair. What's the point? Because the shar has a lot of hair, the hair extends up until the veshet. So enochinami, the last tefach of the veshet is considered keres, and because it's considered keres, ina let it do a shchita. I Rav said that there's a shear, and what's the shear? Lamata, Zad Kadesha Yasser. That sounds like you can go all the way down to the keres. The teretz is, no. Rav said that regarding a shear. The metzias of the shear is different. The metzias is that last tefach has here, and because that last tefach has here, so therefore, essentially, when Rav says you can go ad kedei sheyaser, he's actually telling you can't shecht on that bottom tefach. The bottom line is you taka can't shecht on the bottom tefach of the veshet. If that's the case, how can you tell me kedei sheyaser that bottom tefach doesn't have here? Incorrect. By a shor, it does have here, and that's why I call yovay el mekaymei b'shalom. Another halacha related to the turbitz veshet. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Nachman said the name of Shmuel. Turbitz veshet. The turbitz veshet shenitol kula milechi that was completely dislodged from the lechi. So we mentioned that the veshet on the top attaches itself to the lechi, to the jawbone. So what if the turbitz veshet, which is the top part of the veshet, it dislodges from the lechi? What's the halacha? It's Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel said kosher, it's going to be kosher. V'tonatuna, and he continued, he said, nit lechi atachtin kosher. The Mishnah said that if you remove the entire lechi, it's going to be kosher. Now, if you're going to remove the lechi, obviously the turbitz veshet is going to be dislodged from the lechi, because if there's no lechi, then there's no lechi for the turbitz haveshet to be attached to. So that's a raya that doesn't bother me, that the turbitz haveshet that was nittel from the lechi is going to be okay. So again, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says a chiddush. If the turbitz haveshet was completely dislodged from the lechi, it's still going to be kosher. He said that before a shiraya, because the Mishnah says nittel alechi atachten is kosher, and b'chal masayimana, if it's not there, it can't be attached to it. But the Gemara says maskev l'rapapa. Rapapa asked the makasha, how could you say that? How could you tell me that if you dislodge the lechi from the veshet, it's going to be okay? V'ikar, ikar simanim. We know one of the five halachas of Moshe Mishina that govern hilchas shechita is ikar, right? You have to make sure that the simanim are not nekar. You have to sever it, but you can't detach it. L'chura, what does detach it mean? It means the kon and the veshet are attached to something, and if you detach it, it's a problem. L'mayla, the veshet is attached to what? It's attached to the lechi. So how could Rav Nachman say in the name of Shmuel, turbitz haveshet shenitl kulam ilechi is going to be kosher? It's ikur. Just explain the kasha. It's not just the treifa. It would even be shchitasa nevela. It would be metame b'masa. Because you can't do a kosher shchita once it was already nekar. Nekar trips you up in the chetz of the shchita. So Rapapa asked Nabam Kash. Very well, Rapapa Kasha Masni. Rapapa, it's very nice Kasha. But the Chorish Shmuel has a Mufurish Arai. You see, nitel lechi atachten is kosher. So if it's kosher, it's kosher. Says, right. Says the Gemara, no. Bishle Masni is not Rapapa Lei Kasha. It's not a Kasha. I'll tell you why. Because ha di iyakari uke. Ha di igum igumi. And this is a little bit tricky. When the Mishnah says that nitel lechi atachtin is kosher, it could be, let's go backwards, it's talking about where it's igum igumi. It's talking about where the jawbone was removed, but the basar that the lechi is attached to is still there. So somebody literally did a surgery where he removed the lechi, the actual bone, but the basar that's to the outside of the bone, that is attached to the turbitz haveshet, that remained there. So you remove the lechi, you remove the chefts of the bone, the neshama of that aver was taken away. But it's still attached to it because the basar, where it's all ma'ura, where it's all mixed up with the gidin and all that stuff, that's all there. And because that's still there, so it's going to be okay. But the problem is, when Shmuel said, turbitz haveshet shenitel kulam ilechi kosher, ha di'i akiri ur,
ikure. That was where you literally removed it, which means it's not attached at all. So Rav Papa says, in the Mishnah, you see that I don't need the lechi, I don't need the bone there. That's going to be okay. But maybe that's when you surgically remove it, leaving the turbet zavesher attached al kaponim to the basar, where, in the words of Chazal, you were an igum igumi. But it could be if you were an akiyuri not. And that's what Shmuel is talking about. He's talking about an akiyuri ikuri, right? How the igum igumi me ilu siman. Right? That's a continuation of igum igumi. He said he did it on top of the siman, but the siman must still attach. Elas ok the gemar lo Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel Ishver. So Rav Papa is not shver. Because Rav Papa, you could always be miyashiv the Mishnah of a Shmuel Ishver. Because at the end of the day, if Shmuel's understanding nito lechi atacht in kasha, means that you can remove it legamri, and that's his raya that turbis avesh shenit kulam ilachi is going to be kosher lechayra. Why is that not ikur? So the Gemara says you have to say loy tema kuloy ele ema ruba. You're right. You have to do a little bit of an edit, and you have to say that Shmuel never said turbis avesh shenit kulam ilachi kosher. You have to say that he meant rubai. Aye, if that's the case, what about the v'tana tuna? Right, v'tana tuna, you had a raya from the Mishnah. You can just say alachi had a raya from the Mishnah. And you're going to tell me he learned the Mishnah the way Rav Papa learned the Mishnah? That the bus is still there, then it's not a raya. So why is he bringing a raya? So the Mefarshim speak out, you have to say that Enochi Nami, the way the Gemara understands Shmuel now, the whole Vatana Tuna never really happened. Right? This the Gemara was injecting this Vatana Tuna, thinking that Shmuel meant Kulai. But now the Rav Papa allowed us to understand this a little bit better, so it's clear that he didn't mean kula, he meant rubai, and if that's the case, there's no way the Mishnah is even going to be a raya, because the Mishnah is going to be talking about where it was igumi gumimi ilu simon. Either way, says the Gemara, that's going to be the teretz. But the Gemara still has a kasha. Rav Bar-Chana Mashmul. Rav Bar-Chana sent the name of Shmuel. Again, it's the same Shmuel. Simonim shenedal dulu beruben treifa. That if you have a simon where rive of it was already detached, so it's hanging on literally for dear life, pun intended, so the halach is it's going to be considered a treifa. So vaita, there should be a problem. Rav Shesha Breda Ravidi had the Akpul ikpuli hasam or ha the ifrik ifruki, that there's two types of situations where it was detached beroiv. Rashi says that if it was detached beroiv in a way where it was detached neatly, so you took off neatly, like surgically, you removed it, so then the little bit of miut that's still there could be kasha, and that's what Shmuel meant when he said turbetz aveshet shenitel not kuloi, but rubai melechi is going to be kosher because the little bit that's there is in a good place. Had the ifrik ifruke. When Shmuel said that it's going to be a treifa, he was talking about Rashi says where he tore it out. Kedavar haneker bekoyach sheneker kan maat vekan maat ad rubai. The oisem miyot hamechuber ena mechuber biyachad. Hilkav lachiburu toloi hadavari. It's not going to regenerate in that situation. It's really not going to be. Oh, okay. Either way, what was the sikum of this last part of the daf? So Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel another halacha related to turbetz aveshes. Again, the topic of the overwhelming majority of the daf was the turbetz aveshes. A neke b'mashu, or does it have to be beroiv? It is a makom shchita. It's not a makom shchita. What is the turbetz aveshet? Three definitions of what exactly it might be. Right? Nafkamin is whether there's hagroma l'mayla on the veshet or there's no hagroma l'mayla on the veshet. But this last halacha related to the turbetz aveshet was what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, and that is turbetz aveshet shenitel kuloi milechi kasha. That if you remove it 100%, it's going to be kasha. But after further review, what emerged is that if you remove it 100%, it's not going to be kasha. That's ikor. So now is it going to be a trade? It's even going to be an avail, it's going to be a time of a masa, number one. Number two, you have to say it's talking about where it was only neka rubai. But even where it was neka rubai, the only time it's going to be kosher if it was ikfalik puli, it was removed surgically. So at least the mir that it's holding on to is stark, it's strong. If, however, it was ifrak ifruki, it was torn apart where it's mechuber ma'at kan, ze'er sham, ze'er sham, that array is not considered a proper chibur, and in that situation, it's going. One of the things that came out of this discussion was how do you learn the Mishnah? When the Mishnah says nitalechi atachten kosher, what's the taich of nitalechi atachten? When the Gemara introduced Shmuel Chatchila, the Gemara brought it with a vatana tuna, which always means a raya from the Mishnah, a raya from nitalechi atachten, that it means that the lechi is completely gone, which means that the veshet is completely dislodged. And the kana also, by the way, it's completely dislodged. And that was faket, that was the raya to the Gemara's initial understanding of Shmuel, that nitel lechi atachton, and even if it was kuloi, it's still going to be kosher. But Rav Papa proved that that can't be pshat in the Mishnah. So what emerged l'maskana as it relates to pshat in the Mishnah is that the only time nitel lechi atachton is going to be kosher is if it's igum igume mi'ilui simanim. It would have to be where the bone was removed, but the basar and that samis and the gid and everything that's on the
outside of the lechi would still be intact and attached. That's enough to say that it's not going to be kosher. You don't need the lechi to maintain the status of it not being considered nekar. What you need is the basar and everything outside of the lechi, and as long as you have that, that in and of itself is going to be okay. Either way, this concludes the turbet haveshet, and really the veshet part of today's daf. We now turn our attention to the counterpart, and that is the gargeres, also known as the kana, also known as the trachea. So the Mishnah said, "Upsukas hagargeres." Psukas hagargeres is also considered a trefa, and how much would it have to be nifsak? It would have to be nifsak roif. At kedei kach, this idea is that we had how many times already in Chulin? Can't count. That if you would have an animal that was already chatzi kana pogum, and all you did was did a tiny bit of a shchita to put it over the top, that would already be considered a shchita, because psukas hagargeres, if you have a veshet, the only time it's good, it has to be in pristine condition, because a nekev, even the size of a mashahu, would already render it into a problem. But the gargeres, very, very, very different. Either way, the Gemara now is going to bring a discussion of how much psukas hagargeres needs to be. I mean, we just gave it away. We gave it away the entire masechta. We know it's a raif. But the chiddush over here is going to be how you define the raif. Says the Gemara Tana. We learned in the Braisa. Kama psukas hagargeres biruba. It's raif. Kama ruba. So for that, we don't have a Braisa already. But for that, we have the next best thing. We have Rav. Rav Omar. Rav said, raif oivya. It's raif of the thickness. Va'amrila. And some said that what Rav said was raif chalos. So it was a shaila exactly Rav said, but it's either Rav Avya or it's Rav Chalala. Now, what is Rav Avya and what is Rav Chalala? So it's very simple. The definition of Psukas HaGargeres means that the thickness, right? So just think of the gargeres as the straw. So you're chopping the straw in half, right? You're just cutting through the thickness, not that thick. You're cutting through the thickness of the straw. Once you get to the midway point, and you go a little bit above that, that's when it's considered psukas hagargeres. The shaila is, do you take the thickness of the gargeres into account, or do you not take the thickness of the gargeres into account? The reason this chaps an afkemina, because the gargeres is much thicker on one side than it is on the other side, which means that if you start cutting from the thicker side, you're going to get to the midway point much quicker if you're going to take the thickness of the gargeres into account. If you don't take the thickness of it into account, but you just look at the hollow part, the inside part of the straw, well, then the Rav Chalala is always going to be the Rav Chalala. Doesn't matter if you're coming from this side, doesn't matter if you're coming from that side. So again, let's assume that the gargeres with the hollow part of it is 8 centimeters and round, right? That's what the circumference is. And if you take the thickness into account, so it's now going to be 10 centimeters. But here's the point. Of the extra 2 centimeters, 90% of it is going to be on one side. So if the cheshbin of the midway point is you have to get to the roiv of the 8, you have to get to 4.1, so that's going to be one calculation. If, however, it's 5.1, then it's going to be another calculation, and the 5.1 is going to be much closer to the side that you're cutting from than the 4.1, because that the extra 2 is very much weighted more on one side than it's weighted on the other side. So the bottom line is that's the sikum of the top Rashi on the Amid. But regardless, this was the Shaila. Two gersais, whether it was Rav Ovya or whether it was Rav Chalala. Says the Gemara, a Maisa Shahaya. He Psukas HaGargeres, Asag the Kami de Rav. There was a Psukas HaGargeres that came to Rav, right? The Psukas HaGargeres did not walk into Rav, but somebody brought a Psukas HaGargeres to Rav. Yasnevika Bodikla. And Rav sat down like a Rav, and he started being boidik it. He wanted to see, is it roiv or is it not roiv, right? And he started being boidik it, b'roiv ovya, which is one of the lashonis of what Rav Shita was. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Kana Ravasi, the Ravs, Rav Kana Ravasi, they were two talmidim muvhokim of Rav. They said, l'madatonu rabbeinu b'roiv chalala. Didn't you teach us that it's b'roiv chalala? It's not supposed to be b'roiv Avya. So the Gemara said, when Rav heard that, he didn't want to pass anymore. He said, you know something? Chveisnisht, he didn't want to pass. So what did he do first? He was Badakla Beroiv Avya. But then he chapped that, you know something? Maybe it's not Roiv Avya. Maybe it's Roiv Chalala. At just one point, Roiv Avya is a chumra over Roiv Chalala. Because usually the shaykhid starts shechting from the thicker part, which means that if you cheshbin the Roiv Avya, you're going to get to Roiv before you're going to get to Rav of Rav Chalal. So Rav started off going L'chumra, and then they told him, Rebbe, why are you going so much L'chumra? L'madatanu Rabbeinu b'Rav Chalal. And when he heard that, he says, you know something, yes, Vesach Shanisht, I don't know, I'm not being machmer, I'm also not going to be mekel. So what did Rav do? Shadri l'kamei de Rabbe bar Parchana. Wow. So, like, who does the Rebbe go to, you know, with a kvittel? So who did Rav send his shayla to? He sent the shayla to Rabbe bar Parchana. And the Gemara says, Batka b'Rav Chalal. So Rabbe Parchana went, he was mekel, he was baidik b'Rav Chalal, the achshara, he said this animal is kosher, and now he did he say it's kosher, v'zovah mina b'tlesis, tiri pshiti bisra. He bought meat for the whole mishpacha. He went ahead, 13 coins of meat, he went ahead and bought. This is the Ma'aseh Shel Yekachayah. Now, from here until where our daf is going to end, we're going to learn about 20 lines of Gemara now. The Gemara is going to ask three stories on this story. So, you ever heard of a kasha famasa? We're going to ask three kashas, and each one's a bomb kasha. Each one's like a whole shasugya. Says the word, kasha number one. Teichi avidachi. How was Rabbi Rachana able to opine? No less lakula on this halacha. For Hatanya, we're going to the Brisa, Chacham Shetime, a Chacham that says, Tome, in Chavei Rashad Lutar, Schavis Nalad Bimitar. Asar, if a Dayan said something's Asar, in Chavei Rashad Lahatar. So Rav over here started off, and he was Boydik Barev Avya, which means Rav is Paskining Lachumra. So how could Rav Bar Barchana go Kenega the Psak of Rav? That's a little different, because Rav sent him the Shaila, right? But Afalpika, it doesn't matter. If Rav Paskin one way, L'chumra, how does Rabbi Bar Barchana have a right to paskin l'kula? Nachama. Rav Avya is a chumra, Rav Chalal is a kula. Rav started off Rav Avya, the Talmidim told him, no. So he says, no problem, I sent Rabbi Barchana, he came out l'kula. So now's he allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, Shani Hocha, the Rav lay asa mesa. Rav never really, he was being baidek, but he never paskin. He didn't put up a pashkevillin and say, do not eat from this animal. He just started being baidek. But he was loy asar meisar. It's for that reason this didn't violate that principle. The Gemara asks another kasha. This behemah obviously had a shayla, right? What was the shayla? The shayla was it a psukas hagargaris? Was it not a psukas hagargaris? And even the hachra was this very nuanced hachra. How do you define roiv? Is it roiv avya? Or is it roiv chalal? But it needed a shayla, right? Shaynebo, Rav himself didn't even know how to paskin. So of course, this is something that required shaylas chacham. Well, if that's the case, hechi achal mina. How did Rabbi Bar Barchana, how did the great Rabbi Bar Barchana eat from this? Folks, if the pasuk says, "Yicheskan," he said, "Va'omer aha, Hashem Elokim, hinei nafshei lemetuma, unevelo chevel loyichaldim enur vad at avle b'sar pigel b'pi." Now, if this pasuk sounds familiar, it better, because we had this a week ago on Daf Lamed Zayin, and the Gemara says like this: Hine nafshi lematuma. What did Yecheskel Navi mean when he said, "My nefesh is not tamei"? Shloi herharti bayoyim. I didn't have machshavas harayis during the day. Lovi leitumah b'layla, which would have led to tumah b'night. So hine nafshi lematuma from Tumas Keri. Unevel v'treifa lo yachalti. What did he mean by that? He didn't mean that he didn't eat nevels and treifas, because that's obvious. What he meant was shloi yachalti basar kois meyayla. I never ate from a behema misukenes. Right? See the previous parak. This was the Raya that a behemah misukenes is mutter, because from the fact that Yecheskel Navi is being meshabeach himself that he didn't eat from a behemah misukenes, then it's going to be mutter. What do you mean from that? He didn't mean that he didn't eat pigle of zvachim and menachas fame. What he meant was that he never ate from any piece of meat that required shaylas chacham. Sure, that's the number. Different shot. Shalei chalti me behemah shalei humer mat neisel. I never ate from a behemah, even though Yecheskel was a kohen, but he never ate from a behemah. He didn't give the zroya, the lechayayim, and the cave. But what's the bottom line? You see, from here that Yecheskel Hanavi hatzich barimt. He said that, you know, I never ate from an animal that required shaylas chacham. Well, if Yecheskel Hanavi did that, and he's telling you he did that, you know, he's telling it to you. He's giving you advice that if you're a great man, you should follow this advice exactly the way I'm presenting it. Well, Rabbi Chana was a great man, the great Rabbi Bar Barchana. So, right, so if that's the case, how could Rabbi Bar Barchana go ahead and eat from this animal? You see it required Shelas Chacham, right? Rav himself wasn't sure. And if it required a Shelas Chacham, so Rabbi Bar Barchana L'chair is violating the Chum of Yecheskel Hanavi. How was he able to do that? So the Gemara says, not a Kasha, because Hani Mili Milsa the Taya B'Svar. The only time you have to be machmin these things is if a Chacham Paskin's based on Svar. Rabbi Bar Barchana Agmare Samach. He had a Messiah. What was his Messiah? That Raiv means Raiv Avya, which is Lekula. And that's why he was able to paskin Raiv Chalala, I'm sorry, which is Lekula. And that's why he was able to paskin the way that he paskin. But the bottom line is that being that
Rabbi Bar Bachana was not paskening me svara. He was paskening based on Messiah. This halacha doesn't apply. Avada, if someone asks a shayla to a chacham, the chacham knows a psak halacha, there's no reason to be machmer. Well, your machmer is where it's a svara. Why? Because then you start getting a little paranoid. And you start wondering, maybe the svara is not such a good svara, so Yari Shemayin should be nizir from it. But if it's a mafurish, Rabbi Chan heard from his Rebbe, so what's the shayla? There's nothing to be worried about. The Gemara has a third prop. The Gemara said, the tape of glay, mishum chshada. Rabbi Bar Bachana paskins that it's okay, and the next thing you know, Rabbi Bachana has dinner for a month. It's not so simple. Why are you not worried about chshad? What's the chshad? The tanya b'nuin to the brayse. Don't esadin. If a dayan paskin the shayla zika v'chayiv timei v'tiher asar v'hiter. Right, this pretty much covers every option. V'chein ha'edim shehi idu kulon rasha in likach. So whether it's the dayan, regardless of what he paskin, or it's an aid that said Adas regardless of what he said Adas. So the halach is, if you want to now go and buy the thing, let's say that you said is tahar, that's kosher, you're allowed to do it. Avad Amru Chachamim stating that the rabbi said, Harchek min akir min adayim alay. Don't do anything that's like this or that even rhymes like this. Don't do anything that's synonymous with this. Stay far away from things like this. You know why? Because there's an inyan, v'yisim nikiyim. There's an inyan of chshat. What's the kasha? Rabbi Bar Bachana gets this piece of meat that comes his way. This is like a schmack of piece of meat. He looks at it and he says, kosher. Oh, and by the way, you know, I'd like some. It doesn't look good. It looks a little bit. Now, of course, no one's being choshira. Right, in the previous Gemara, Rabbi Chan is the great Rabbi Chan. Now, all of a sudden, we're being choshira. It doesn't make sense. Now, the Teretz is the halach of chshad. The yisim nikiyim. So, if that's the case, how could Rabbi Chan do that? So, the Gemara says, it's not a kash. Because, honey, Mili, you want to know when that halacha was said? That's midi demazbin mishuma. That's when you're going to buy something based on an assessment. We're a little bit concerned that maybe, there was like a sheikhat here almost, because it looks a little bit like what happened was Rabbi Bar Bachana, right, let's just use this as an example, said it's kosher, wink, wink, and then when he bought it, he got a good deal. Whenever this makim declare that that's what happened, that's when you get concerned. But if you're paying fair market value for it anyways, then what's the concern? Meaning even that infamous guy that we spoke about the other day, who's always being chosh at everybody, lira, right? He's minding everybody else's business. He's mamish, he's muchter b'chol mida meguna shaba oilam. That guy, right, who we, takes up a lot of space in Shas. But that guy, even him, there has to be some rationale, there has to be some methodology to what his madness is. So the point is, if you could assume that Rabbi Bar Bachana, or whoever that rabbi is, would have gotten a good deal, so that's what the chshad is. It looks a little sheikhadid. You know what, I'll say your animal is kosher, you give it to me 50% off, done. But to the extent you're paying fair market value, it's not going to be an issue. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Bar Bachana bought meat. Meat was sold by its weight. You know what the weight is. There's a fixed price, right? There's a commodity market, and you know exactly what it's supposed to go for. And as a result, the maskala was muchach that he didn't get a good deal, and therefore you don't have to be worried about echshad. In fact, the Gemara says there's already a precedent to this. What's the precedent? Ki hod de rabbo, or some have the girsa rava sharat trifta. He was once matar a trefa v'zava mina bistra, and then he went ahead and he bought a basar. Amul a basra chizda. So basra chizda told him. Now it makes more sense. It would be rava because basra chizda was Rava's wife. If it's Rabba, so Basra Chizda is telling her husband's Rebbe. I hear, but the bottom line is Abba Shari Bukhra, right? My father, right? Don't try this at home. So Basra Chizda turns to her husband. He says, come on, my father didn't do this, right? I mean, this is like you hear this in your first Chosin Shmuz. Abba Shari Bukhra said, my father, when it was Mata Bukhar, like, he would never buy the Basra from a Bukhar that he was Mata. So why are you doing this? Amallah. So Rava knew what to answer. He said, Hani Mili Bukhra da Shuma Mizdav. No, Bukhar is different. Because the Bukhar, even the meat of a Bukhar, was sold on Shuma. And Rashi says the reason was sold on Shuma, because that actually a halacha, you're not allowed to sell kachim in the regular way, right? Even psuli amikdashim, they used to sell it in a more bakavadig way. So they wouldn't weigh it, they wouldn't measure it. It was sold based on shuma. So pisa was sold based on shuma. So over there, when there's a shuma, then there's a chashash, then maybe you a matter and this is some sort of shaykha because you're going to get a good deal in return. But hacha, I'm buying regular meat in the shuk, maskala muchach. The weight of it is muchach, you have nothing to worry about. And Rava continued, he said, Ma'ika, I know what you might be thinking. Maybe mishum umtsa ma'al yasa. Maybe you're thinking that still, I'm going to get a good deal. How am I going to get a good deal? They're going to give me a better piece of meat. Right? So sometimes, even if you're willing to pay, you need protection. So, no, I'm willing to pay. I'll pay you the same thing the other guy's willing to pay. Yeah, but I saved the nice pieces for the VIPs, for the shiny yidin, for the chushuva people. But Rava said, that's not an issue. I don't need to issue a psak to get a good piece. I'm Rava. I walk into a store, they always give me the best chayr. So there's no chshad over here. Being that there's no chshad, you don't have to worry about. But the bottom line is, this is a maisa, that's a raya that supports this idea. And that is that even though it's true, a chacham that's makel on something is not allowed to go ahead and now benefit from his kula because of a chshad, it looks a little bit like it was shaycha, but that's only true if there's takim makom to be chayshish. But to the extent that you're dealing with something fixed, you're dealing with something that you don't really have to worry about, in that instance, it's not going to be okay. So what's the sikkum of the last part of the daf? The halachic part of it is that psukas hagargeres, how much is Psukas HaGargeres? That's a braisa. It's roiv. What's the definition of roiv? So Tulu Shainis and Rav, Rabbi Bar Bachana had his Messiah. It's either roiv avya, which would be a kula, because usually the Shaykhah checks from the thicker part, or it's a chumra, right? You're going to get there sooner. Or roiv chalala, which would be the kula. It's just totally in the inside part of the proverbial straw. It's what the inside is. And the Gemara told the story. The story was that there was a Psukas HaGargeres that walked right into Rav's Bezdin, Rav sat down, he started being Baidik Barev Avya. And they told him, why are you being Baidik Barev Avya Lechumra? You told us, Limadatana Rabbeinu, that you could be Mekel. And once Rav heard that, he abstained. He didn't want to pass him. So he sent it to Rav Bar Bachana, and Rav Bar Bachana went Barev Chalala, and he was Mekel. Now he was in Mekel. He went ahead and he bought from it. And they had three kashes on this story. So again, we brought this story for the Rav Avya Rav Chalala portion, obviously. But the Gemara then had three haras on the story, three very fundamental shailas that are all rooted in basic halachas of Dayanus. The first shaila was, isn't there a din that once one chacham is machmer, another chacham is not allowed to be mekel? So if Rav thought Rav Avya l'chumra, how could Rabbi Bar Bachana go now and say Rav Chalala l'kula? And the teretz is, the Gemara said, that's not shver. And the reason is because Rav never paskin. Rav was never really machmer. He was being baidik l'chumra, but he was never machmer. Because he was never machmer, so it's for that reason that wasn't going to be an issue. The second kasha was, Rabbi Bar Bachana bought from it? How did he buy from it? This is a basam et ha-shayla. Yecheskel HaNavi said he never ate from something that required Hayra as Chacham. So why would he have done it? So the Gemara clarifies. That's only if the Hayra is based on a Svarah. This was not based on a Svarah. And the third Shaila was, is how is Rabbi Bachana able to buy from something that he himself paskin? Right, so the first Shaila was, had he paskin? Shaila was, had he eat from this? And the third one was, he bought from something he himself paskin? Right, it's a different niggin for all three Shailas. He himself bought from something that he himself paskin. Isn't there a Lach? You shouldn't do that because of a Chshad. It looks a little bit like this, some Sheikhad business going on over here. And the Gemara says that that's not a kasha, and the reason that's not a kasha is because that's only true to the extent that what you're buying is totally in shuma. But if it has a fixed value, so then everybody sees that's not going to be an issue. And then the Gemara said that we have a maisa shahaya kachaya to support this. The maisa happened with Bas Rav Chisda and either Rabba or Rava. Either way, that concludes today's daf. First part, the majority of it, dealing with the Turbitz HaVeshet, and then the latter part, dealing with the Gargaris. So as it relates to Rei, just to end with one Ara, this is something that we've spoken about so many times over the years, but I just think it's Kedai, it's short, and La'inyan, Bezrus Hashem, related to today's Daf. So the Gemara in the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, and it went onto the top of Daf Mem Dalet Amid Aleph, brought a Braisa. A Braisa that has its Makor in a Tosefta. It's a Tosefta in the second parak of Masechta Sukkah, second parak of Masechta Idias, and the first parak of Masechta Yevamah. So it's in three places in Tosefta. I'm reading from the Maseiros HaShas. The Braisa says, Le'olam halacha k'tiv b'Yisrael. The halacha is always like b'Yisrael. V'roitza lasas k'tiv b'Shamay oisa, k'tiv b'Yisrael oisa. Stating that, you shouldn't go mikula b'Shamay because if you do that, you're Rasha. And you shouldn't go because if you do that, you're going to be a Ksil. And the Gemara asked the obvious question. The Braisa starts, and then you tell me, if the halacha is like Beis Hillel, then if you want to go like Beis Shammai, you shouldn't be allowed to go like Beis Shammai. So which one is it? Is it la'olam halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel, or is it no? And the Gemara said two terutzim. One terutz was when the Braisa says la'olam halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel, talking about after the baskel that the Gemara talks about in different places, was machria that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but before the Baskel, when there was no Hachra. So if you wanted to go like Beshamai, you can go like Beshamai. If you wanted to go like Besil, you were able to go like Besil. So the Braisa, even though it looks like it's one long narrative, really is talking about two different times of history. The first part of the Braisa is actually the later part of history, L'achra Baskel. And then the next part of the Braisa goes back in time, and that's talking about Kaidim HaBaskel. If I say, it could be the entire Braisa, the Gemara said, is talking about L'achra HaBaskel. The two parts of the Braisa are two different shittas. The first part of the Braisa is going according to the shittas that hold Mashkichim HaBaskel. The second part of the Braisa is going according to the shittas that holds Mashkichim HaBaskel. Whose shittas is that? That is the shittas of Rabbi Yishu. The Teres Chaim, right here on this Gemara, makes a diak. The Braisa begins Lo Oilam Halacha Kedivri Beis Hillel. Frank the Teres Chaim, what does it mean Lo Oilam Halacha Kedivri Beis Hillel? Halacha is like Beis Hillel. What's this emphasis that the halacha is always like Beis Hillel? It's a lot of Kloli Apsak that we have in Shas. You don't say the halacha is always like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is always like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi. The halacha is always like Rav when it comes to Isuri and Shmu, when it comes to Mamoini. Why does the Braisa preface Lo Oilam Halacha Kedivri Beis Hillel? And the Teres Chaim says a Dover Nifla. Talk to Teres Chaim. The reason we said the word Lo Oilam over here is because we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai for a reason that's different than why we're usually Machria Psak throughout Shas. When we say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva mechaveira, it's because Rabbi Akiva was better in learning than chaveira. When we say the halacha is like Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, it's because of the koyach of Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi nimukeimoi, right? Where's nimukeimoi? He comes with his reasons. He comes bavofent, right? He comes armed and dangerous. He knows how to win every battle, and it's for that reason the halacha is always like Rabbi Yossi. When we say the halacha is like Rav when it comes to Issa v'Heter and Shmuel when it comes to Dinei Mamonis, it's because Rav was mistaber tfei, says the Teres Chaim in Issa v'Heter, and Shmuel was mistaber tfei in the world of Chayshe Mishpat. It's based on the fact that they were better in learning in those areas, or maybe even in all areas. And that's what governs, that's what underpins that psak halacha. It's for that reason, says the Teres Chaim, it's not muchach that the halacha is always going to be like Rav Be'isr and by Shmuel B'mamayni, and that even the halacha is always going to be like Rabbi Akiva and like Rabbi and like Rabbi Yossi. It's going to be that way unless you're told otherwise. But to say that it's la'olam going to be that way, lav dafka. Because the only reason we paskin like Rav by Isser and like Shmuel B'mamayni is because it's mistaber tvei. Well, what if you have a machloikis where it's Isser v'heter and Shmuel svara is mistaber tvei? Well, you have a machloikis in Dinei Mamonis and Rav svara is mistaber tvei. Well, then hadar dina, you're going to go connected what the regular rule and regulation is, and that's the way you're going to paskin. When it came to the machloikis, Bisham Bisolo, what did the Baskel say? You remember? The Baskel said, Elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim, stating that v'alochik divrei Beis Hillel. That really, Bisham Bisolo, in Shamayim, they couldn't be machriya. Nor was, they said, Medaf hoben apsak. And the mahalach of the psak is going to be that the aloch is going to be like Beis Hillel. But here's the punchline. The reason, says the Teres Chaim, we paskin like Beis Hillel, is not because Shitas Beis Hillel is mistabrit fei. In fact, the Gemara says in the first pack of Masechtas Yevamos that Beis Shammai was mechadadit fei. It was actually just the opposite. But it's because there had to be a hachron. This is what we machri. In fact, the Gemara even says, why would we machri like Beis Hillel? Gemara says they were bigger balei midas. They used to say Shitas Beis Shammai first and their own Shita second. But it had nothing to do with their Harifus had nothing to do with their svaris. It was not related to the fact that they're better in learning. If that's the case, there's the Teres Chaim. So there's no way in the world that you could ever go against that club. What are you going to tell me? I'm learning a machlokes b'sham beis hillel, and I'm a diet, and I think shitas beis shammai is mistaber tvei. Who cares? The reason we passed like beis hillel was never because we thought shitas beis hillel was mistaber tvei. It was always based on the fact that there was a baskel. If it's based on the fact that it's a baskel, there's no way to ever get out of it. And if there's no way to ever get out of it, so based on that, it's going to be la'olam, and that's la'olam halachik divrei beis hillel. So says the Teres Chaim, when it comes to all other machlokes, and you don't have this preface of la'olam, it's tough. By the machlokes b'sham beis hillel, you know why? It's because of the fact it's mitoich chumra shechmarta leh b'soif ikalta leh b'soif b'tchilase, or the reverse of that, right? It's because we don't really have a reason to pass like beis hillel over beis shammai. So if you tell me that halacha is like beis hillel, it's always going to be that way. It's dafka with regards to the others, where the reason we're passing it is because they're better. Well, chaps enough kamina. What if now all of a sudden they're by plucked the same better? Then it could be that the halach would be in the reverse. And that's why, when it comes to machleik b'shayim b'shillel, there's no wiggle room. B'shayim v'onk b'shillel ain't a mishnah. It's not a geya. It's because it's not based on svaris. We don't cheshbin it as a das yachid. Right? There's so many areas in halach we don't even reckon with the other shita. It's because the basko was machriya. We had this two svaris, and I think this svar is better than that svar. But there's a certain shulchan aruch of how much credence and credibility I have to give the inferior svara. But over here, the side of this inferior svara is not, I hear the other svara better. It was rejected based on the baskel. I'm not goyris it. That is the oimik of understanding, says the Teres Chaim, the difference between a machleis b'shayim b'shillel and any other machleis in Shas. And in one word, this is encapsulated in this Tosefta, la'oilam halacha k'divrei b'shillel. Not halacha k'divrei b'shillel, but la'oilam halacha k'divrei b'shillel. But the emphasis is, I think, there's another pshat in this word, la'olam halacha k'divrei b'shillel. And this is based on a perek in Mesillas Yesharim that we've spoken about many times over the years. It's perek chaf. It's called Mishkal Hachsidus. So one of the madrigas of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, which is the foundation of the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim, is Chsidus. Chsidus is very much towards the top. Depending on what girsa you have in the braisa, you do it. There's many different girsas. Chassidus can be the highest madrega, the second to highest, third to highest. It's very, 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 very close to the top. What is a chassid? So a chassid is someone that goes lefnei mishur hadin. In fact, in Mesillas Yesharim says that a chassid is to mitzvah saseh what the parish is to mitzvah lo saseh. So the parish, we know, is kadosh matzah mechub mutalach. He doesn't just not eat basr nevela. He doesn't eat basr at all because he doesn't want to even ever come to eating basr. If I don't eat basr, I'll zikha never eat basr nevela. The chassid is that exact same person, but he's not operating in the world of lo saseh. He's operating in the world of aseh. The parish is in the world of Yira. He has such Yira of the Chet that he makes such Gedarim that he's a Kaddish Atz Mechaba Mutalach. The Chassid is operating in the world of Ahava. He has such Ahavas Hashem that he wants to make sure that he's going to do so much and he'll fulfill the Ratzon HaBayrei even in nuances that the Bayrei never told him he wants him to do, because he understands that if the Eibishter told him to do this, he probably wants me to even do more. But Al Kaponim, the Chassid is the Mitzvah Saseh counterpart of the parish. So Mesillas Yesharim, Kedarkai, Bakidish, talks a lot about Chassidus. And then he has a whole perek that's called Mishkal Chassidus. And the Mesillas Yesharim says that this idea of Mishkal Chassidus is the hardest part of being a Chassid. So what is Mishkal Chassidus and what's so hard about it? Says Mesillas Yesharim, Mishkal Chassidus is that a Chassid has to realize that sometimes to be a Chassid and to be Machmir is not necessarily the right thing. Because you might be taking upon yourself machmer, v'tovei alecha brach in one area, but at that same second, unbeknownst to you, because you didn't make the mishkal properly, you didn't compute this thoroughly enough, you're actually being mezalzel, you're being makel in another area. And if you do that, yotza schara behefseta. And he says that's why the chassid has to be shaykel as chassidus. Every, such a profound idea. Every single step he makes to make sure that it's 100% oiske halten. And he says that's a very hard thing to do. And in fact, it's the most difficult part of chassidus. So imagine, this is perek chaf in Mesillas Yesharim. So you're already holding where you nailed, you conquer, you climb 19 mountains, and you're up to literally Har Esrim. And on that mountain, you encounter this obstacle, Mishkal Chassidus. How do I know to make sure that my chumrah is really justified and warranted, and that I'm not, through my chumrah, actually being makel and being mezalzel and something else? You know, we've explained it in the past, and you know, maybe this is emes. When it comes to Torah mitzvahs, you're not supposed to make cheshbonos. Right, b'hadei kafshad rachmano lamalach. You don't make cheshbonos. So you wake up in the morning, there's no mishkal you have to make, you just open a shulchan aruch. You follow the rules exactly the way you're told to follow it. Chassidus, by definition, is not something you have to do. It's something that's lefnei mishur hadin. That means I'm already using my own seichel. Oh, if I'm using my own seichel, I dafka don't have a blueprint to follow. It wasn't drawn up by an architect. So now I'm making it up as I go along. Oh, you're making it up. You better make sure you get it right. Right? You don't have to make up putting tefillin on in the morning because the Torah tells you to put it. You say, maybe I shouldn't put on tefillin today. No, the Torah says you put on tefillin today. It's very straightforward. You know exactly what you're supposed to do. But chassidus, you don't know what you're supposed to do. But either way, this is Mishkal Chassidus, which the Ramchal says is the most challenging part of being a chassid. And then the Mesillas Yesharim goes and he gives examples of different tzaddikim throughout the generations that were nichshol in this inyan of mishkal achzidus. The most famous example that he gives is Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulis. Chazal say Amar Rabbi Yochanan and the sinusha shor Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulis is what caused Churban Beis Hamikdash. So we know the story of Kamtza Bar Kamtza, and Bar Kamtza went and he sent this animal that had a mum, something that's considered a mum for us but not considered a mum for the Romans, for the Umay Zaylam, and they were going to be makrivit out making shalom. Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulis said, people are going to say that you're allowed to be makriv of Balmum. They said, okay, let's kill Bar Kamtza. He's a roidev. People are going to say, matamum bekotchim yeharik. And they ended up not doing anything. They didn't bring the carbon. They didn't kill Bar Kamtza. And as they say, the rest is history. And Rabbi Yochanan heard that. He said, am v'senusei shor Rabbi Zechariah caused churban beis hamikdash. What was the oimik? Says the Mesilas Yesharim that Rabbi Zechariah tripped up in Mishkal Achsidus, because in his world of Chsidus, he thought the right thing to do was not to bring the carbon and not to kill Bar Kamtza. But really, the right thing to do was to see the bigger picture. And that was where he made a toys. So the great Rabbi Zechariah went ahead and he made a toys. And then he goes and he gives another example. And that is Umayse de Rabbi Tarfon Yochiach. I'll bring you another raya. A raya from the great Rav Tarchman. He was machmel like Beis Shammai. The background is a Mishnah in the first parak of Masechtas Brachas, where the Mishnah brings the machlokes Beis Shammai b'shil, exactly how you're supposed to learn Kriya Shema. It says, b'shivtecha b'veisecha uvlachtecha b'aderech uveshachbecha uvkumecha. Beis Shammai held, b'shachbecha means Kriya Shema shel Arvus, you have to be lying down. Uvkumecha means Kriya Shema shel Shachris, you're supposed to be standing up. B'shil says no. B'shachbecha means b'zman shebnei adam shayfchim, and uvkumecha means the time that people get up. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Tarfon was once machmer to be matel like Beis Shammai for Amrulai, and he came, and what happened was, he was lying down somewhere on a bench, and all of a sudden a listim came, and they almost killed him. And he made it out alive, and he runs to Beis Medrash, and he tells all his chaverim, you know what happened? I almost got killed. And they told him, you know what? You would have deserved to die. Sha'avarta al divrei Beis Hill. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, that what Rabbi Tarfon did when he lied down to say Kriya Shema, afal pisha machmer haya. He was a big machmer. So why did he deserve to die? Rabbi Tarfon's chayav misa for being machmer like Beis Shammai makes no sense. It's a chumrah, so why can't you be machmer? V'zeh. She'inyin machloikis Beis Shammai v'Bishilo. The inyin of the machloikis between Beis Shammai v'Bishilo, haya inyin kovid liYisrael. It was a very challenging chapter in Jewish history. Mipnei machloikis agdoy l'shofse b'nei, because of the great machloikis that raged between them. V'soif soif. And at the very end of this very, very difficult time, nigmar shahalacha kebeis hillel oilam. It was gepaskin that the halacha is going to always be like Beis Hillel. Hine, kiyum shel Torah. The kiyum of Torah is shek mardin zeh yishar b'chol toikif la'ad ula'ol me'olamim. That this psak has to be in place forever and ever. And it can never be weakened. So the Torah shouldn't revert back to being two Torahs again, like it almost became in the times of Beis Shammai. It would have been better in the world of Mishkal Chassidus for the great Rav Tarfon to be makel in Hilchas Kriya Shema like Beis Hillel. You know why? Because as much as Rav Tarfon was being machmel in Hilchas Kriya Shema, he was being makel in the world of the Machloek Shem Beis Hillel. And when someone of his ilk is machmel like Beis Shammai, you know what that does? It reinvigorates Shittas Beis Shammai. And it risks the whole Jewish nation ladder. It puts the whole Klal Yisrael in Sakona. And that was something the Rav Tarfon made a toss in Zoktim Ramchal in the world of Mishkal Achsidus, v'zelonu le'inayim lirois, says Ramchal, that if you see Rav Zechariah ben Afkulis, and you see Rav Tarfon, we're able to make mistakes in the world of Mishkal Achsidus, eizeh derech yishkoinar be'emes v'munu lasu yosh b'en Hashem, how hard it is to navigate this fine line, and to make sure you're getting it right. Everybody thought Rav Tarfon as being a machmer. But Chazal saw it, no, k'day ho yisa lochav ba'atzmecha she'avar t'alder v'beisil. And that was the nekuda. He didn't chap how important it was for somebody of his nature not to go of his stature and publicly show any credibility to the world of Beis Shammai. But the Mesilas Yesharim, if you medayik l'shoyne yazov, when he brings out the chshivas of this baskel, this psak, that the halacha is going to be like Beis Hillel, he says, v'zeh, she'inyin machloikis Beis Shammai b'Hillel hoya inyin kovid liYisrael. Mipnei ha-machloikis ha-gedoyla sh'rof se'beneh. V'soif soif. And at the very end, nigmar sh'alocha ke-Beis Hillel la'oylam. Where do you get that word la'oylam from? La'oylam ha-locha de-Beis Hillel's pasha. He got it from the Tosefta in Sukkah, in Idias, and in Brachas, which is mentioned in Ervin Dav Zayin and Chulun Dav Mem Gimel Aleves. Hina ki yuma shal Torah, she'gmar din zeh, If that's the case, says Masil Shishon, the kiyum of Torah is that this Gemara din yishar b'chol toikif. It should remain with the ganzkeit lo ad ulo ol me'olam. Where's he getting this from? Where did the Masil Shishon get this from? That it has to be lo ad ulo me'olam. He got it from the word lo'olam. V'lo yechlash b'shum ponim. V'shaloi teyasa Torah chas shalom k'shtei Torah. I think it's poshut that the Mesilas Yisharim here in Perichov is teaching up what Loilam is. He's bothered with the Teretz Chaim's Kasha, and he's saying a different Teretz. He's saying, you want to know what Loilam means? Loilam means forever. Lo'adu lo'ome elomim. The halacha always has to be like Beis Hillel. Because if the halacha is not always going to be like Beis Hillel, well, then we're risking going back in time. We're risking having a sakana. In other words, we have a diyek. Lo'olam halacha is Beis Hillel. What's up with lo'olam? Every machloikis is a hachra. What's the lo'olam? We have two pshatim. Teretz Chaim said lo'olam means every single machloikis. The Ramchal is saying that lo'olam means forever and ever. I think in the roiv diga vernacular, the Teretz Chaim is saying it's lo'olam in echos. It doesn't matter what machloikis you have now. You could pick up any one of the machloikis in between B'sham Yisrael. One spoke out from Reuven Margolis. There are 360 machloikis in between B'sham Yisrael. So every single one of these machloikis in lo'olam da'aloch is going to be like Beis Hillel in echos. And the Sil Sisharim is saying lo'olam in kamos. It has to be this way forever. Lo'ad u'lo'ol me'olamim. That's not echos. That's kamos. Lo'ad u'lo'ol me'olamim. Two different pshatim of what the lo'olam is. It's lo'oiv and echos, it's a lo'oiv and kamos, they're both true. It's elu ve'elu divrei l'kim chayim. This is something that halacha is like Beis Hillel in kamos and echos, and it's because it's a whole different Indian. The Indian Machlokes Beis Hillel is a different Indian. You cannot compare the rules and regulations that govern the Machlokes Beis Hillel with the rules and the regulations that govern every other Machlokes. Every other Machlokes, Klai Yisrael is not at risk. Every other Machlokes is based on who's Mestaber Tvei. This Machlokes is a whole different world. The entire union was at stake at the time of this machloikis, and this machloikis was hukra, not based on mistaber tvei, based on a baskel, and that's why it's lo'olam in kamos, it's lo'olam in echos. There's no mocking for anything else. I just want to end with one har. It's an obvious har. Everyone's going to ask this, and that is, so we're going through this Be'ez Hashem thoroughly, right? Lo'olam in kamos, lo'olam in echos. Let's go al rishon. He spoke at the Teretz Chaim first. Teretz Chaim said every single time, Zochay B'Shaim B'Shol, lo'olam, it has to be halacha B'Shol. Is that true? It's not true. Tosfos brings in Sukkah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph from Amram Goyim, there's three times that we pass on B'Shaim. And the Ramchal said that the halacha always has to be like Beis Hillel in Kamos. Lo'adu lo'omei olamim. Everybody knows that Rizal. The Svar Makdoshim say that Lasa Lovei, the halach is going to be not like Beis Hillel. Lasa Lovei, the halach is going to be like Beis Shammai. So L'chur, we have a little bit of a ha'ara on the Teres Chayim's La'olam and Echos, a little bit of a ha'ara on the Mesilas Yesharim's La'olam of Kamos, V'yesh Li'yashev. We will stop here.